Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
You sometimes hear it said that the largest religious group in America is inactive Catholics, maybe the second largest group. I don't know, but you get the picture. You get the general idea. And how do we reach out to inactive Catholics? How do we maybe evangelize or re-evangelize that group and draw them back into that beautiful relationship that is offered to us in Christ in the Eucharist? 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. If you have some ideas in that regard or some questions about drawing inactive Catholics back to the faith, Father Mike Schmitz is our guest this hour. Father Mike is a priest of the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. He currently runs the Newman Center at the University of Minnesota Duluth and is also the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministries for the diocese. And he is nationally known for his speaking and his joking, and he's a very funny person. And his coolness and all that, but he's also a big YouTuber online presence. And so you can, maybe you've seen Father Mike Schmitz there. 888-318-7884 is the number. Father Mike Schmitz, thanks so much for being with us on Catholic Answers Live today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Bulldog Catholic, by the way, that's where you can find out all about you, right? Because the Duluth mascot is a bulldog.
That is why. You know, it's funny because sometimes I'll say, go to bulldogcatholic.org for more information. And I get people emailing me saying, what? To the what? And they have all these different variations of what it could be. And like, is that because like you're tenacious like a bulldog? And like, no, it's on the university campus. The mascot is a bulldog. Apologize.
Still, even though you would never, it is an awesome website name, Bulldog Catholic. I kind of wish I had that. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah, it's very aggressive. I don't know.
Well, so you're in the business, really, of, well, let me put it this way. A lot of us, a lot of adult Catholics who have adult Catholic or adult children or young adult children or teen children, our preoccupation is that our children seem somehow to have wandered from the faith, or they don't find it relevant to their lives. And you're in the business of finding the lost sheep and bringing them home, isn't that right?
I'm honored that you say it like that. But yeah, that is the exact thing we try to do. Recognizing that, I think the statistics are anywhere between 80% and 90% of Catholics who graduate high school abandon the faith by the time they leave college.
Oy,
and that stat is just boggling, mind-boggling. It's 80% to 90% of Catholics who graduate high school are no longer practicing Catholics by the time they graduate college, which is just, yeah, it's just staggering. You think like, what the heck? What are we doing? And so I am so honored. I consider it every single day I get up and I'm like, God, thank you so much, because the mission he's called me to right now in this season of my diocese and priesthood life is to be on a college campus and to say, how can we stop that? And not just stop that, reverse that.
And I'm guessing, I'm just going to take a wild guess here, but it's probably by yelling at people a lot and telling them that they've abandoned.
That's the thing that works the best.
Is that the key? Yeah, just yell?
I find yelling and shaming people works.
Oh, you are my kind of guy, so Father Mike.
You know, I think that if you threaten them, that's another way to do it. Because I like that. I personally like to be yelled at and threatened. So
yeah.
I figure other people must like that too.
Okay, so that seemed to drip with sarcasm, Father. So how do you approach this? Because in my view, just looking as an outsider at a college campus today, there is so much mitigating against, just pushing against them finding and loving the church. How do you? It's almost like asking them to swim upstream. As a matter of fact, I think it is asking them to swim upstream. So how do you do it?
No, completely is, and that's a great analogy or a great image for it, because you're inviting them to go against the grain. And one of the temptations all of us, and I'd say every single one of us from middle school to maybe the nursing home, is to fit in. And we want to kind of be like everyone else. We want to look like everyone else. We want to kind of blend in like everyone else. And we don't want to be different. And college students are no different than that. We all want to kind of blend in. And yet the call as Christians is we just can't. We can't blend in. We have to actually live differently than the rest of the culture if the culture is not living, pursuing Jesus. And I mean, this is one of those things I always point out to the students. It goes back. This is not unique to modern times. This goes back to the Jews and in the wilderness being brought into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Is the Lord God gives them all these commandments, like here's, you have to eat differently. You have to dress differently. You have to cut your hair differently. Why? Because you're going to go into a land that's already occupied by people, and you're going to be tempted to live like they are, that they're living. But you can't. And so God puts these rules, right? You live differently, dress differently, eat differently, you know, talk differently, because not because you're special, but because you're mine. And that's a huge thing. And so to try to communicate that to our college students is one of the pieces, but I can't start there. It has to start somewhere before that.
And so you mean you can't start with the countercultural thing, but.
Unless I'm talking to someone who's like, man, what's up with this culture?
I see.
Like, okay, then we can start there. But a lot of times we have to lead with Jesus. I mean, that's the thing. And I find that so many young people have not actually heard the gospel. They've heard a version of the gospel that they've rejected.
Yeah.
And so they think, oh no, I know Christianity. I know Catholicism. And I've rejected that. And I think, oh my gosh, wait, tell me, what do you believe about this God? What do you believe about the Catholic Church? And they'll tell me, and almost, 9 times out of 10, I get to say, oh,
nope.
That's not actually what we believe.
Yeah.
And yes, it is. Sometimes I get, yeah, it is. you're just trying to soft pedal it. Like, no, actually, that's not what we believe. And then when I tell them, or when anyone tells them, there is this, the beginnings, at least, of an openness for the real gospel to be proclaimed.
It does seem that our last three popes, at least, actually probably well before that, have said this is a time to re-propose Jesus to people. That Jesus is enough. That we don't have to have all these other approaches or answers propose Jesus to them, because as you said, people have heard a false gospel many times, but to hear the real gospel is kind of shocking sometimes.
Absolutely. And it's shocking in the best possible way, right?
Yeah.
It's shocking in the way that great news, real good news is shocking. It's so incredible to be able to hear from or talk to college students on a regular basis who will say, I had no idea. I'll give you a couple of examples. We'll do a theology of the body seminar a couple times a year. And I will have students who will come up and, you know, students who have been very sexually active ever since middle school or since high school, and maybe even in a relationship when they go to the theology of the body seminar, who will then come out of that saying, oh my gosh, I had no idea. What do I need to do now? Like, what's the next step?
Yeah.
Because I just can't keep doing this. And you think, wow, I thought, wait, what did I say? How awesome must I have been? It's like, no, I wasn't great. All I did was present the church's teaching as given to us from the Holy Father or from John Paul, St. John Paul. And it just touched their minds and their hearts. And they said, no, I want that. Like, that's what I want more than anything else. That happens all the time.
888-31-TRUTH is the number. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. And the question on the table, how do we reach out to those inactive Catholics? How do we propose Christ again in a way that is able to kind of get through the hard shell that the culture puts around all of us? Father, are you willing to we'll take a quick call or we'll take one call before we take a break?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Nathan in Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. You are on with Father Mike Schmitz. What's your question?
First of all, thanks for taking my call. Father, I got to just say thank you. I recently discovered Ascension Presents.
I was
an inactive Catholic, and y'all very much contributed to my new fervor. Thank you. my question is, I am dealing with someone who's coming from a similar situation as me, not more intense though, struggling with these sort of fire and brimstone sort of gospel, damnation kind of approach from certain ultra-conservative, you know, sects like the Society of St. Pius X or the Set of Acontis. And I think they just have a lot of, I know they have a lot of misguided ideas on the church doctrine and such. And I'm just looking for your advice on how to deal with that and how to help them and coax them out of that into the church's true doctrine.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I will encounter that as well. And I don't mean to lump into the same boat necessarily. But sometimes when I'm speaking with people who come from a strong Calvinist background, that can often be the case as well. So I don't want to lump people into the same group, because people are all coming from different perspectives. But I find that those who have that, say maybe the fire and brimstone, or the, like you said, the contest, or as I would say, maybe Calvinist background, there are some attitudes that I see recurring. One is a certain anger. The second is a certain fear. And the third is a certain rigor. And on their own, those three things aren't necessarily awful. They aren't necessarily evil. But this kind of anger, this fear, and this rigor, I think sometimes can cause a person to become essentially, I would say, maybe lack of a better term, I won't say it. So I'll just say anger. I will often have to ask someone who is coming out of that perspective, if you're going to say God is vengeful, God's wrathful, and there's a fire and brimstone, is this you being angry at the culture? And I'm trying to ask that in a way that, you know, kind of gets past the walls, because of course someone's going to say no. It's God himself reveals in his word that he has no tolerance for evil. He has no tolerance for sin. And they're accurate in that. But I want to know, but do you have that anger? And that's, I think, you know, almost even more important to try to talk to someone. That's the first piece. The second piece is there a fear? Because I'll talk to a lot of people who, when they highlight the fire and brimstone, or when they highlight this kind of real vengeance or judgment of God, one of the things I see is that there might be a certain fear in their hearts of being lax. And if I'm lax, then I might be myself be condemned. So there's a certain sense being like angry. Am I angry at anyone in particular? And ascribing that to God, or any kind of idea and ascribing that to God. Secondly, am I afraid losing my own salvation to such a degree that I've gotten led to the point where now, here's the third part, I have this rigor that allows no room for mercy. Now, I don't mean mercy that it turns a blind eye. I mean mercy that addresses evil and faces it, like the cross, right? So the cross is the kind of mercy of here's God who looks at evil straight on and deals with it, not doesn't turn a blind eye to it. So when I'm talking to someone, I don't want to go on and on about this, but when I talk to someone who has that kind of fire and brimstone past, one of the things I always kind of look for is there something this person's angry about? Is this something this person's afraid of? And has this led to a certain kind of rigorism that empties the cross of its power, really? I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's some of my initial thoughts.
Nathan, does that make sense to you?
It does. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the input.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for that call. Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. 888-318-7884 is our number. We got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Spring is here, a time of growth and new life in so many ways. Eastertide, confirmation, and graduation, just to name a few. As your teens and young adults grow and move forward in faith and life, they're going to need a guidebook to help them find their way. Pure Faith, a Handbook of Prayer for Catholic Youth, is that guidebook. A unique prayer guide designed exclusively for teenagers and young adults. It's short enough that a young person will read it, yet it's packed with spiritual wisdom and advice from saints and holy men and women, as well as prayers for a variety of needs, circumstances, and individuals. With this guide in hand, your teen will know how to pray simply and effectively, how to draw closer to God through prayer, and how to use prayer to meet and overcome the challenges he or she faces. Order your copy of Pure Faith today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Whole bunch of calls to get to for Father Mike Schmitz, and with their comments or questions having to do with our topic this hour, which is how to reach out to those non-practicing or no longer affiliated or somehow disaffected Catholics, and maybe make a renewed call that they may come back to friendship with Jesus through his church. But before I get to all those calls, I want to mention, Nathan mentioned when we were just speaking with him, Ascension Presents. Could you just give us a quick word on what that is, Father?
Yeah, absolutely. About 2 years, actually 2 years ago today, Ascension Presents was launched by Ascension Press. And, you know, Ascension Press has been known for a number of years to put out things like the Great Adventure Bible Timeline with Jeff Cavins and some other great Bible studies. And a couple of years ago, they approached me and said, hey, would you want to, we want to have a web-based platform that tries to address millennials, tries to address this age, exactly what we're talking about right now. People who either are in the church and they want to be more equipped, or people who are outside the church and or have left. And, you know, they're open at least. And so they said, would you make some videos? I'm like, well, sure. And so 2 years ago today, they launched the first video and launched the website. And it's kind of awesome because I just got some statistics today or some with whatever they call the metrics. And it's 50-50 male and female, which is awesome when it comes to church stuff to have 50-50 male and female viewership. Secondly, the main demographic is, I think it's something like 24 to 35, which is a good age. And a lot of subscribers who are not Catholic, a lot of subscribers who are not even theists. And they're like, and I think this, the Catholic Church, at least this guy makes some sense, which I appreciate.
888-318-7884 is the number. I forgot to mention, Father, I feel bad about this, that it is the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker today. I don't know why something you said shook that loose in my head. But it is the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. And now we go to Ashley in Houston, Texas, listening on 1430 AM Guadalupe Radio. Ashley, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. What's your question?
Hi. So my question is, how do I go about people who are either angry with God, they've been wounded maybe in a certain way, or maybe they've been hurt by, they feel like members in a parish or from their family, and they're holding this like level of resentment. Is there maybe a fast? Because is there a stronger way to pray for them? Or I guess that's what I'm trying to convey. Just certain people who are dealing with, I feel like a lot of times people are wounded in a certain way. And that's what ends up kind of having them pull away. And so is there a way in particular that I can posture myself to help bring them closer and back into the church?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one of the things that you highlight in that, Ashley, is you highlight your heart. And what you're doing is you're modeling the heart of Jesus. You're modeling the heart of the Father for his lost children. So in that, that's where I would posture myself. Posture myself in that place of where is the Father's heart disposed towards those who are far from him? How does Jesus reveal himself as having that shepherd's heart towards his lost sheep? So in that fast, and I'm glad you highlighted that, because there's prayer, and prayer is powerful. And I always advocate, prayer. You know, funny, I'm kind of crazy that way. But advocating not just prayer, but prayer and fasting. Is Jesus himself points out that there are some demons that are not defeated, that some people are not released from those demons, except from prayer and fasting. So in that prayer and fasting, I would say, I don't know if there's any specific kind of way to fast that is more powerful, but I would say your disposition, as you were asking about, your disposition is, okay, here is the Lord, and with his good shepherd's heart that's willing to go out as far as need be, as far as he can, to get that lost sheep. Here's the Father who's willing to pour himself out in the Son to rescue his children. Like, that kind of disposition is so good. When we have a connection, particularly a familial connection with somebody, I believe that there is a unique way we can pray for them. So for my siblings, I have unique connections to them. I think there's a unique way I can pray for them. If you're a parent, a mom or a dad, there's a unique way that you can pray for your children that I believe the Lord blesses in a powerful way. But with that fasting, I just can't recommend it enough. Now, that being said, I would also want to highlight that the kind of fasting that we can do on a not just regular basis, but on a daily basis, is the kind of fasting that comes to us rather than the fasting we pursue. What I mean by that is the fasting we pursue is the stuff for Lent. You know, so we say, okay, for Lent, I'm not going to eat bread, or for Lent, I'm not going to eat meat, or whatever the thing is. The kind of fasting that comes to us has a certain new character to it, where it not only is a discipline and a sacrifice, but it's also a posture of yielding to the Lord, meaning I wasn't able to eat lunch today because someone needed my attention, or because traffic was running late. Okay, I'm going to accept that. I'm going to accept that as an opportunity in this moment from the Lord to offer up my hunger for someone else. The coffee machine ran out of coffee today. And so, okay, I did not choose that, but I will yield to it and I'll accept that. And I think that kind of yielding is what we're really praying for those who have left the church, right? We, that kind of hard-heartedness that someone might have if they've left the church can, in a certain sense, be undone by our yielding or our soft-heartedness towards the Lord in that fasting. Now, I don't want to go on and on about that, but I think that might be a potential idea.
Ashley?
Great. I'm here. Would you say the same approach would be appropriate for those who are not a part of the Catholic faith that we would like to bring in to people that we've already evangelized to, and it seems like we're kind of at a stalemate?
Absolutely. Completely. And, you know, the great examples we have, one of the great examples everyone points to, and I would point to her as well, as St. Monica, her prayer. I don't know. I didn't read anything about her fasting for her son, St. Augustine, but I'm sure that she did. And absolutely those who, at the time, Augustine was not part of the church. And so definitely for those who are outside the church.
Thank you very much, Ashley, for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest is Father Mike Schmitz. And our topic is, how do we reach out to Catholics who are not practicing the faith? And Father Mike, you are we turn to you for that because that's what you've been called to, as you said, at least in this season of your ministry or as a priest. And you're doing that every day as a campus minister and as a director of youth and young adult ministries for the Diocese of Duluth. What are we in general missing about how to reach those who are disaffected with the Catholic faith?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think one of the things we're missing is, I would say, a robustness. And now that can be a really general way of saying this, but a certain kind of vigor
Okay.
can be missed.
Well, I asked you that question right up against the break, so I want you to fill that out for us a little bit more when we come back. How to be
Absolutely.
Have that vigor of the faith, a robustness in our approach to calling others back into friendship with Christ, lived every day in His church and through His Eucharist. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
It's been called a crash course in salvation history, the perfect addition to CCD and RCIA reading lists. Catholic Answers' new graphic novel, The Big Picture, has set the Catholic book world on fire with its unique and innovative blend of apologetics and entertainment. With high-quality, full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow, The Big Picture reveals a story full of passion, suspense, adventure, and hope, engaging the reader immediately. As our heroes come face to face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world, it gets readers talking and thinking, captivating and entertaining them with eternal truths presented in a non-threatening way. Get your friends and family talking about things that matter. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow morning on EWTN, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. How can you help someone who doesn't want your help? Take Two with Jerry and Debbie airs at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, followed each day at 1 p.m. Eastern by The Doctor Is In with Dr. Ray Guarendi. And after Catholic Answers Live today, John Knutson is on the journey home. John spent years in the wilderness of indifference and atheism and then returned to the Catholic faith in 1998. That's right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. This hour, reaching inactive Catholics with our guest, Father Mike Schmitz, who does that every day for his work in the Diocese of Duluth and using social media now in a really extensive way. Before we go back to calls, the reason part of what dawned on me is it's the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker today, and I didn't mention that on Catholic Answers Focus, we have a wonderful interview with an oblate of St. Joseph about this feast. And you know what? There's a lot of stuff you don't know about St. Joseph. I don't care who you are. There's a lot of stuff you don't know about St. Joseph. So if you want to hear that really fascinating interview on the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, just go to Catholic.com/focus, Catholic.com/focus, and you get to hear that interview. And now we return to our regularly scheduled programming. Father Mike Schmitz, how about we you were going to tell me a little bit about robustness and vigor. Is the missing ingredient.
Yeah, I think that there's a Well, I mean, that's one word to use. Are you familiar with, I'm sure, actually, I know you're familiar with Rod Dreher's The Benedict Option.
As a matter of fact, we have that available on Catholic Answers Focus. We did an interview with Rod Dreher, too.
It is. I read it a couple weeks ago when it first came out, and I really appreciate it. I know some people are saying, well, was he saying we should need to head for the hills? And he keeps saying, no, I'm not saying that. But one of the things he does say is we need to live intentionally. We actually need to live differently. One of the things, you know, we as Catholics, as here at Catholic Answers, say all the time is, hey, as Catholics, we don't believe in faith alone. We believe we're saved by grace through faith, working ourselves out in love, that there's that, you know, faith and works is integral. That's simply not, I mean, we don't even need to bring in salvation. We do ultimately, but when it comes to living the faith, there's a sense that we as Catholics know that, well, you know, faith and works are necessarily together. St. James writes.
Right.
But not only for our for salvation, but also for our witness. The crazy thing is, why in the world would the rest of the world pay any attention to what we believe if we just live like the rest of the world? I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. Why would anyone care? You believe that Jesus rose from the dead if we don't act like it? That you believe that human life has all human life has intrinsic value, but if we don't act like it, you know, if we believe that marriage is forever, but we don't act like it, we believe that, you know, even the poorest of the poor are worth our lives, but if we don't act like it, then who cares? And I would say this, Roger is a call to Orthodox Christianity, which is that sense that now we have to live out the faith that we've been professing, or else who cares? And I think that robustness is a faith that actually touches my day-to-day decisions. Not just kids, we got to go to Mass on Sunday because that's the rule, although that's important. I think even more, it's now making these hard decisions because the Lord is the Lord of my life. And I think that is really powerful.
You know, another aspect, if I may, don't you think it's also true that when we decide we want to be a witness for the Lord, and so we live differently, live intentionally, there is that aspect of witness, but also one's own life flowers. One's own life becomes so much more bright and vivid and alive.
Completely. I mean, that's one of the maybe best-kept secrets, we'll say, of those who have actually handed the keys over to Jesus, you know, handed the reins over to the Lord, is that on the outside, you think of all of the things that you'll be losing. And on the inside, all we can say is, oh my gosh, why did I wait? Yeah. Like, what was I afraid of? And that was it Pope John Paul or Pope Benedict who said, you know, do not be afraid of following Christ. He takes nothing away and gives you everything.
Yeah, that was Pope John Paul II, but it was written by Benedict.
So good, see combo. It was both of them. I was right. But that sense of, I think there's a fear, and I think the fear probably is because too few of us live that with robustness, with a real intentionality.
Right. All right, let's go to Mel in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Mel, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. No? No, Mel? I'm sorry, Mel. I must have missed you somehow. Let's take a trip over to, well, we'll stay in Texas. Jessica in Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. You are on with Father Mike Schmitz.
Hi. Well, I was raised Catholic. I'm Mexican, and I grew up with my grandparents, and I grew up going to church, but more of a tradition than a belief. And then I stayed away from the church for a while, a long while, like 20-something years. And I recently been back for about a month or so after my husband,
who's
been a very active Catholic, invited me or sended me to an evangelization retreat. I grew up more thinking, because of what I saw with my family about being Catholic, but saying something and doing something totally different. So I was more like, I don't care what your religion is, as long as your actions are good to others. So now that I'm coming back to the Catholic Church, I hear all these other things about other churches. And to me, I'm hearing it like everybody's giving me this commercial about why their religion or their Christian church is the best one. And I need guns or armor on how do I solidify my belief that truly the Catholic is the way to go, and that, you know, Mass is not boring and it's not just about kneeling and standing and, you know, doing the sign of the cross thing. So can you give me any advice? Because it's not that I don't believe in Jesus. It's not that I don't believe in God. Is believing that Catholics is the church or the only way.
All right. Father?
Amen. Yeah, Jessica, thank you so much. And also, welcome back. So awesome. And what a great question, too, because I think this is the one that I get all the time, because on, well, just in our daily lives, but also on a college campus, there are a lot of different campus ministries, a lot of students who say, okay, you're the Catholic one. Well, how are you any different than anything else? Specifically when it comes to, you know, up in northern Minnesota, we have a lot of Lutherans. And so our pastors have robes. You have robes. You know, we have an altar. You have an altar. Like, what's the difference? A big question, I think, Jessica, could be historical. Years ago, actually when I was a kid, I don't know if you remember Dear Abby, but Abigail Van Buren would, you know, wrote a column. People would write in and ask her questions, and she would answer them. And one day or one week, whatever, the question was, who founded your religion? And so Abigail Van Buren wrote out this whole historical survey she got from somewhere. And she went through, and it was Confucianism, you know, founded by Confucius in this year, Buddhism founded by this person in this year. And then it got to the Roman Catholic Church, and it said, founded by Jesus Christ in the year 33 AD. Lutheranism, founded by Martin Luther in the year 1517 AD. And it was so funny. My mom cut it out. You know, she cut that out and she put it next to the phone in the kitchen. And so every day I got to see this and realize that it's historically accurate, is that every other Christian denomination was founded by a human being. Historically speaking, you can actually trace the Catholic Church all the way back to Jesus himself. And so when people say, well, what does it matter? I say, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. But if it does, wouldn't you want to be part of the church that Jesus himself not only founded, but also promised that he would never abandon? And that's an important thing. Because if we can historically demonstrate that Jesus founded the Catholic Church, which we can, wouldn't it also be of vital importance that he also said that he would never abandon the Catholic Church? Another phenomenal. So that's one thing. Two more things I just want to throw out there. One is you mentioned the Mass and the Eucharist. There is a resource. I don't know if you can write this down or not. There is a YouTube video called The Hour That Will Change Your Life. It is by a priest I know from Duluth, Minnesota, named Father Mike Schmitz. And
I know that guy.
Yeah. If you just type into your YouTube search bar, The Hour That Will Change Your Life, or just type in Father Mike Schmitz. It's a 45-minute talk, so it's not even a full hour, that presents our belief on the Eucharist. And I gave that talk to about 10,000 college students a couple years ago, and you might find that really helpful when it comes to explaining why the Mass is absolutely not boring, and why Catholic, you know, the Mass is not only not boring, but is also the most precious thing we have in this universe. So again, it's The Hour That Will Change Your Life. Just type that in. The last thing that I'll say is Trent Horn has a great book. And it's Is It the Reasons for Our Faith, I think. Is that what it is?
I think so. You know what? I'll have that sounds right to me. Am I saying that wrong, Darren? Why We Are Catholic.
Yeah,
that's
why
it.
We are Catholic.
Okay, that's right. Why we are Catholic. Yeah.
That's Trent's book. And it's so good. Why We Are Catholic just unpacks in a really clear way, not just like here's the differences, but here's why you would want to be part of the Catholic Church if you love Jesus. Now, again, I'm not saying that someone who's not part of the Catholic Church doesn't love Jesus. I'm saying that if you do, again, that sense, wouldn't you want to be part of the church he founded? I think that could be a good place to start.
How's that sound, Jessica?
That sounds great. Actually, I heard that about Why We're Catholic in one of your commercials.
Oh, hey.
So it was great. So my husband tells me that all the time. He's like, you know, the Catholic Church, you're the only one you can trace a very straight line from Pope Francis all the way to Peter, to Jesus. So you cannot do that with any other religion. But I wanted something more than just like, okay, well, this is the only way we can trace.
You'll get that in Trent's book. You'll definitely get that in Trent's book. And I didn't want to commit to the title of Trent's book because it's close to Patrick Madrid's book, Why Be Catholic, which is also a very, very good one. So I think those are actually very good. Go try to just YouTube Father Mike Schmitz, and you'll find all kinds of great stuff. But the hour that will change your life. Yeah, go ahead.
If I could add one more thing to Jessica, maybe if the historical thing or the beginning, the historical origins wouldn't be enough, maybe there's one more piece that would be worth thinking about. And that historical piece would be this, would be that, or the next level piece would be all Christians believe that in Jesus Christ being fully God and fully man. All Christians believe in the Trinity. These two things. One is that Jesus is fully God and fully man. The other is that God is, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say we got that from the Bible because the roots of that clearly are in the scriptures. But actually, I said clearly, I misspoke myself. They're in the scriptures, but there was a lot of debate about that. One of the things we recognize is that the Bible is an infallible book. And we truly believe that the Bible is an infallible book when it comes to what the Lord is revealing about himself. At the same time, it's not a self-interpreting book. And so because of that, we need an infallible interpreter. I mean, think about it. If you were God himself and you had gone to all the trouble of revealing yourself over millennia and then preserving that transmission through, you know, scribes and through translations and guidance, and then say, okay, here's the infallible book. Here it is, all 73 books, and it's one book called the Bible. But you didn't provide an infallible interpreter to go along with that infallible book. We have to understand that an infallible book without an infallible interpreter is a worthless book. And so when someone says, like, well, no, all you need is the Bible. Well, there's a lot of ways to challenge that or to question that. But then to be able to say, but if all you have is the Bible, there's thousands of different ways to interpret it. How do you know you have an infallible interpretation? Well, because an infallible Bible without an infallible interpreter is a worthless book. And so the Lord gave us an infallible interpreter in the Catholic Church. And you actually see this being exercised both in the Acts of the Apostles at the Council of Jerusalem, but you also have it exercised in the year 325 in the Council of Nicaea and the year 381 in the Council of Constantinople, where the doctrine of Jesus Christ being fully God and fully man is firmly established. And then in 381, the doctrine of the Trinity being firmly established and communicated. Why? Because God did give us an infallible book, but he also gave us an interpreter of that book.
Father Mike Schmitz is our guest. Reaching Inactive Catholics is our topic, and we'll be right back after this quick break on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 6:22, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, the next day the crowds got into boats in search of him. When they arrived on the opposite shore, they asked him when it was that he arrived. He answered that he knew that they were only interested in him because of the loaves he had multiplied. "Do not work for food that perishes," he said, "but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." There is in us mortals a stubborn tendency to limit him to the merely earthly mode. We have even seen this recently in the attempt in some circles to interpret his miracle of the loaves with a purely natural explanation. The scribes and Pharisees continually made this error. When will we accept that it is only when we humbly approach him with gratitude for who he is that the Holy Spirit rushes upon us with an understanding that we cannot put into words? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Thanks again for being with us here on Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about reaching out to inactive Catholics today, and we've got a wonderful guest to talk about that. Father Mike Schmitz has done all kinds of wonderful videos on the internet that you can find. I just found out that he, if you go to UMD, that's University of Minnesota Duluth, Newman, you can you podcast your homilies each week.
Yeah, right? We've been doing that since 2007, and I think that the archive goes back to 2013 right now. But we're working on getting the earlier years up there too.
I don't know; they weren't that good. You've gotten better.
Yeah, so. I know. They were just throwaway. Anyway,
you left yourself wide open
it's
for that.
True though, it's everyone knows. That's what you keep saying.
Cecilia in Los Angeles, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Your question for Father Mike Schmitz.
Yes, my question to you is, I have a 18-year-old son, and he's been confirmed, the whole thing. But I can definitely know that he's pulled back. We have a good relationship. He's not like that or anything, but even when he was getting ready to do his confirmation, I know he was kind of lackluster. So I asked him, I said, "Are you sure you want to do this? This is a lifetime commitment. You have to understand that when you are doing this, you're saying, this is what I believe, this is who I am." And he said, "Yeah, I want to do this." Okay, fine. So now as time has gone on, you know, I noticed, you know, we go to things like if it's something that has to do with prayer, like he doesn't do the sign of the cross, he just stays quiet. And I've asked him, and he says that he believes that there's God. But his questioning is totally different. I mean, he still has his cross hanging in his room. He still has his little mementos from when he did his confirmation. So he hasn't tossed them out. But I definitely know that he's in a different plane. And I don't know how to get to him in a way that's – I don't want him to run for the hills. You know, I want him to understand that this is a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Is he in high school or is he in college or out of school?
No, he's already, this is his first year of college.
Okay. Yeah, I think everything you described is very, very common in this. But your involvement is phenomenal. That sense of being willing to say, "Hey, what's going on?" I think that's one of the things I always ask parents to do or invite parents to do. Not necessarily like, here's what you need to do, although that has its place, obviously, but that what you're doing, which is, so how, what's happening right now? Where are you at? Do you have any questions? I think continuing to open the door there is really good. Or what are you thinking about this? Like, what do you believe? Those kinds of open questions, open door questions, I think one of the things they do is they might seem at first glance like you're being relativistic or like you're being, you know, kind of subjectivist. It's not. I think just opening the door and saying, so where are you at right now? Like, where are you at with your faith? Where are you at with Jesus? And just listening to what he has to say, it's not being relativistic. It's having a conversation. He's learning how to, hopefully he's going to keep moving forward and learning how to have like adult thoughts about God, adult approach to his faith. What's going to have to happen to him, I think, is not just that step, say, oh, I can challenge this and I don't own it because my parents walked me through it. I own it because I've encountered Jesus in a way that's transformed my life. So first thing, as I said, you're killing it when it comes to awesome job, when it comes to continuing to ask him, like, where are you at with the Lord? What are some of your questions? That kind of thing. Super good. As long as he knows that he can give you an honest answer and you're not going to totally shut him down. That's important. But the next thing is, what are those opportunities that he might have to encounter Jesus? Now, you might say, of course he's encountered Jesus. I mean, we raised him Catholic. He's been going to Catholic Mass. He went to retreat when he was getting ready for confirmation. That's really good. But that was then, and now this is now. And so what are those opportunities in your parish or in your town or your city for him to, whether it's a retreat, whether it's a young adult kind of event, whether it's something on campus? Because one of the things I find is almost has to happen to all of our students, even if they're raised Catholic and they're on fire in high school. When they get to college, there has to be this new encounter with the Lord in that context that I don't know what it does, but what it, well, I do know what it does. I don't know why it's necessary, but what it does is it is this kind of sense of like, oh, the Lord is not just for when I was a kid, not just for when I was a high schooler, but he's real and he's present here on my college campus as well. So what are those opportunities where your son could go away for a retreat, get involved with a campus ministry that has a living and active relationship with the Lord, where he could have an adult encounter with Jesus? That's the next thing I would say.
Thank you very much for that call, Cecilia. I hope that is helpful to you. We go now to Anonymous in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, listening on St. Michael Radio. Anonymous, you are on with Father Mike Schmitz. What's your question?
Father Mike, thank you so much for your work in Ascension Presents. My question is regarding my brother. He has been in a same-sex union for several years now. He's raised Catholic. He still goes to Mass. He just abstains mm-hmm. from communion. He even goes to adoration in front of the Eucharist. He knows that the real presence is there. I have taken him to courage conferences and, you know, mm-hmm. watch the Desire of the Everlasting Hills with him. And I'm just having a hard time crossing the boundary to make him realize, you know, everything he's missing in the Eucharist. He does it out of respect, but he's just too afraid of, you know, being lonely and is outside of communion with the church. So if any words you could give me, please, I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for calling. And also, what you just described is someone with a living faith. I mean, really, what you just described is your brother having struggles, challenges. Yes. But he is exhibiting a living faith, because what did you describe? You said he's going to Mass on a regular basis. Okay. Even though he experiences same-sex attraction, he may even, as you've mentioned, he may even act out on this. But what he's doing is he is abstaining from Holy Communion. And that is I truly believe that is an incredible witness and testimony to the fact that your brother has a living faith. Now, obviously, is there ways to go? Absolutely. But I remember this happened. One of my brothers, my older brother, I'll just say it, my older brother, he and I went to college together. And every Sunday night, we would go to Mass. He would go on his own, and I'd go on my own, because we're kind of, live separately. And he would show up on his own. And he always considered himself to be like the black sheep of the family. Like, he thought, like, no, I'm the one who, you know, kind of isn't living the best life and this and that. But I remember being so proud of him because he would go to Mass every Sunday, and he knew that he hadn't been living in a way where he could receive communion. So while everyone else went up, he would sit in the pew. And I know that he was embarrassed and he was ashamed of himself, all these kind of things. I remember looking at him thinking, like, that's a greater testimony to his faith in the Eucharist and his faith in Jesus than if he were to go up and receive. Now, he's called to more than that, but that's the first beginning. We can talk about more coming up.
We're at the end of the hour, Father.
Oh, we are. So here's what I would say. Loneliness is a huge fear for so many people, to realize that what's coming up, keeping it back from the Lord, is not a rebellion as much as it is fear. So I ask you to pray for a spirit of fear to be banished from his heart, that fear of loneliness to be banished from his heart. That's a great place to start.
Thank you very much for that call, Anonymous. Father, may we have your blessing before we go.
Absolutely. May Almighty God bless you and all those listening to this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and make you all saints. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Father Mike Schmitz has been our guest. You can find him on the internet. He's everywhere on the internet. But just try typing in that name, Father Mike Schmitz, and you'll find all kinds of great videos. Tomorrow, open forum, both hours, Tim Staples. See you then on Catholic Answers Live.